Good day. Welcome to the Guardians of the Holy Grail with Mark Amaru Pinkham. This program will explore the secrets behind the Knights Templar and other secret mysteries of the world today. Now, here's your host, Mark Amaru Pinkham.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Guardians of the Holy Grail, the program dedicated to diving deep to uncover and expose the truth behind the Knights Templar, secret societies, and the ancient Holy Grail mysteries. The Guardians of the Holy Grail program was created to assist in clearing up many of the popular misconceptions that have been floating around the mainstream media regarding the secret societies, the Holy Grail mysteries, and the bloodline from Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Through this show, I hope to set the record straight with hard facts from authors and researchers, as well as with testimonials from current and past members of the initiatic societies. I myself am a Knight Templar of the International Order of Gnostic Templars, which was founded to revive the mystical rites and wisdom of the original Knights Templar that over the centuries has either been lost or ignored. You can learn all about our Gnostic Templar organization and what we're doing and sign our mailing list by visiting our website, which is www.gnostictemplars.org. While you're there, you can sign up for our 18-lesson Gnostic Templar e-course. You can become an associate member. You can even download an application to become a full initiated member. There are videos to buy and books to purchase there. One of the books that's now featured on our website is my new book, World Gnosis, The Coming Gnostic Civilization. This book chronologues the movement that has been passed down through the Knights Templar and the secret societies to found a world, one world civilization that's based on Gnostic spirituality. This movement to found a one world civilization actually began thousands of years ago on the legendary continents of Atlantis and Lemuria, and that is exactly where the book begins. The book ends with a description of what this new Gnostic civilization will look like and the new spirituality that will hopefully be a part of it. As I said, you can purchase a copy of the book on our website, in our web store. And the address again is www.gnostictemplars.org. Now today, if you have any questions for our guests, feel free to call in on our toll-free number, which is 866-472-5795. I'm excited about today's show. We're going to be speaking with Dr. Sam Osmanagic, who's the man behind the recent discovery of a huge pyramid in Bosnia that's surrounded by a group of smaller pyramids. And all of these pyramids apparently are interlaced with an internal tunnel system. So this is an amazing discovery and one of the greatest discoveries, certainly over the last 100 years at least. Now, our guest, Dr. Sam Osmanagic, is an author and a researcher who was born in Bosnia and now resides in Houston. Following his recent discovery of the Bosnian pyramids a few years ago, Dr. Osmanagic established the Pyramid of the Sun Archaeological Park, and since that time he's been working steadily to remove the vegetation that covers the pyramids while investigating the tunnels and whatever else might be covering the inside and outside of the pyramids. Dr. Osmanagic continually travels around the globe to spread knowledge of his amazing discovery, while also organizing and speaking at numerous conferences. He organized the first international scientific conference about the Bosnia Valley of the Pyramids in Sarajevo in August of 2008 that included 55 leading experts from many countries, including Egypt, Russia, China, Poland, Saudi Arabia, United Kingdom, Croatia, Austria, Montenegro, and Bosnia. Dr. Osmanagic has authored and narrated a 12-episode documentary called Search for a Lost Civilization for the state Bosnian television station, which this special was based on his book, Civilizations Before the Official History. And the filming took place in Peru, Bolivia, Easter Island, Costa Rica, Mexico, United Kingdom, France, Germany, Malta, Egypt, Jordan, and Lebanon, all over the world. Dr. Osmanagic is a member of the Archaeological Society of Alexandria and was admitted as a foreign member of the Russian Academy of Natural Science from Moscow, which is one of the most prestigious scientific institutions in the entire world. Now, if you want to know more about Dr. Sam and his amazing discovery of the Bosnia Pyramids, there's a website you can visit, which is www.BosnianPyramidOfTheSun.com. You run it together, BosnianPyramidOfTheSun.com. Now, I recently met Dr. Osmanagic at a 10-10-10 event in Arkansas, and have to say I was truly amazed by his two-hour presentation on the Bosnia Pyramids. I'm sure that when you'll understand why I was when you hear him speak today. So greetings, Dr. Sam. Welcome to the Guardians of the Holy Grail, and thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's very good to be here, and I thank you for a real nice introduction.
A lot of your presentation, or the first part of it, if I remember right, was about many pyramids all over the world. So apparently, before you discovered the Bosnia Pyramids, if I'm understanding this right, you have been traveling all over the world and studying pyramids in many countries.
You are right. You see, we live in very exciting times. The 21st century will teach us that almost everything they've been telling us is wrong. And one of the keys to the ancient mysteries are the pyramids. What they've been teaching us is that they were built only in Egypt and Mexico, and that's wrong. They've been built on all five continents. Secondly, they are telling us that the Egyptian pyramids are built as a tombs for the pharaohs, for the kings of Egypt. Again, wrong. The biggest, the oldest and the more superior pyramids in Egypt never served for the tombs, for the pharaohs. For the Mexican pyramids, they are telling us there are places where the enemies were sacrificed. Again, it's completely wrong. Only the Aztec pyramids, which are very recent, were used for that purpose. As a matter of fact, we do not know what is the real purpose of the pyramids. In most cases, we don't know who, when, how, and why built those huge structures. You know, I've been investigating pyramids all over the world, from Honduras to China, from Peru to Egypt, from Salvador to Canarian Islands, from Belize to Mauritius. Now, they are discovered in southern Europe. And I can tell you one thing. It seems that the pyramid building was a worldwide concept. Somehow, the civilizations on five continents did have a communication. They had the concept of the pyramids perfectly oriented toward the cardinal points, east, west, north, and south. And now we need to discover what was the purpose of these most monumental structures ever built on the face of the planet?
So you would say that the pyramid builders of the different continents knew each other and passed information back and forth about how to build these pyramids?
It had to be communication between the continents. Either it was one super civilization, or we had several very advanced civilizations in Southern Europe, Northern Africa, in Central America, in South America, in China, in Southeast Asia. It's amazing that the step pyramids, all true pyramids, are built in the central U.S. For example, Southwest Illinois, there are 200 pyramids at the tumulus, which are called mounds. There are thousands of pyramids in Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Salvador, Belize. There are 300 pyramids in Peru. There are pyramids 13,000 feet above the sea level in Bolivia. And there are pyramids on the islands like Canary Islands, dozens of them, Mauritius, in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and, of course, 250 pyramids in China. But now we are coming to the most exciting discovery ever. The biggest, the largest structures in the shape of the pyramid are built in South Europe, in Bosnia, just 25 miles from the place where I'm standing right now. And right now I'm in Sarajevo, the capital of Bosnia. So 25 miles northwest from here, in the little town called Visoko, there are five biggest pyramids ever built. The biggest one is the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. With its height of 700 feet, it's much higher than the Great Pyramid of Egypt, which is 400 feet in height. And the second biggest pyramid in Bosnia, which I named the Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon, is also higher than the Khufu pyramids. There had to be a major reason why those structures were built here on Bosnian soil.
Well, can you tell me, Dr. Sam, how exactly is it that you stumbled upon this incredible discovery of the Bosnia pyramids?
You see, for the last 25 years, I've been investigating the ancient civilization. My PhD is in Mayan civilization, so I spend a lot of time in the Central American countries. And actually, I witnessed that most of the pyramids are still covered by soil and vegetation. When you mention the word pyramid, usually people think about the Egyptian pyramids that are located in the desert. But most of them, in China, in Mexico, in Guatemala, they're in forests, in jungles, completely covered, and in most cases, damaged by the vegetation. So when I first came to this little town of Visoko, 5 years ago, in April of 2005, when I saw the shape of the hill, which is very regular, it has four triangular faces, the corners are very obvious. And when I put my compass to it, and the compass showed east, west, north, and south, based on those two elements, I knew that it cannot be natural-made hill, but man-made structure. You see, traveling and investigating pyramids all over the world, I concluded that there are at least five common elements for all of them. In order for something to call a pyramid, you don't have to have pharaohs or kings. What you have to have is the architecture, the geometry, triangular faces. So that's property number one. That's what we had in Bosnia. Property number two, for some reason, most of the pyramids are perfectly oriented toward the cosmic north, the location of the northern star, the Great Pyramid of Egypt, all Chinese pyramids, most of the Peruvian pyramids, some of the Guatemalan pyramids, and now Bosnian pyramids. The property number three is the construction material. Usually it is local construction material. For Peruvian pyramids, they used to use adobe bricks. For the Guatemalan pyramids, it was volcanic stone. For Egyptian pyramids, in most cases, limestone and the granite from Aswan. In the case of Bosnian pyramids, we have concrete-like blocks based on the local conglomerate. That's number three. The property number four are the inner passageways and chambers. Most of the pyramids, we can see that the passageways exist, and they lead to the chambers in the pyramids. And we screened using the satellite images the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun and discovers the passageways inside the pyramids. And property number five are the underground tunnels. 5 years ago, when I first came here, when I could visually observe two regular hills, which I named the Bosnian Pyramids of the Sun and the Moon, I wrote in my first book about the discovery that we are going to discover the underground labyrinth. At that time, the professionals here in Bosnia, archaeologists, geologists, historians, they were laughing at me. But now, 5 years after, we did discover a huge underground labyrinth, which goes for tens of miles in all directions. So all five elements that I've been seeing all over the world are present in the case of the Bosnian pyramids.
How did you know, Dr. Sam, when you had undeniable proof that this pyramid was man-made?
You see, when I was first invited to come to this town of Visoko by the director of the local museum, he wanted to show me some, you know, medieval artifacts. But when I came there, I saw this hill towering over the town of Visoko. I saw the geometry. I went to the top. I was looking on the other side of the valley. And then I saw another regular hill. Even though it was covered by woods and soil, I could see the triangular faces. I could see the corners, the flat top, and the compass. When I had those two elements, you know, the perfect geometry, the perfect orientation, for me that was the end of the story. Mother Nature never makes such a regular geometry and such a perfect orientation. And sure enough, 6 months later, with the help of the State Institute for Geodesy, they measured the precise orientation. Their conclusion was amazing. Namely, until then, until 5 years ago, the pyramid with the best orientation was Great Pyramid of Egypt. The error from the true north is 0 degrees and 2 minutes. In the case of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, the error is 0 degrees, 0 minutes, and only 12 seconds. Unbelievable.
So I assume that the experts, and I know you've had a lot of experts that have visited the pyramids, most all of them have agreed with you that they are actual pyramids. Isn't that right?
Well, you see, until now, the mainstream science considered the pyramids, the local scenarios. Like in Egypt, you have Pharaonic Kingdom, and they built the pyramids. In Mexico, you had Mayas, you had Aztecs, and they built pyramids for their purposes. But I represent a different way of thinking. What I'm saying, instead of the local scenario, the pyramids are results of the worldwide concept. There was a communication between the continents and between the civilization. This is a completely new approach. And I'm even giving the new elements for the main pyramid complexes in the world. And there's the five elements which I just mentioned, the geometry, the orientation, the construction material, inner passageways and chambers, and underground tunnels that connect all the pyramids and other structures. So in the 21st century, the pyramid science has to be established, and we need to view those structures differently. What we need to do, even though they are archaeological phenomena, we need to apply interdisciplinary techniques. Instead of only archaeologists, you know, discovering the pyramids and the facts about the ancient civilizations. We need to add other classical techniques like geology, pedology, geodesy, but also a new modern satellite technique, georadar technique, the knowledge from the physics, from the geophysics, and other sciences. You know, we have come to startling conclusions in the case of Bardian pyramids. The main thing is, of course, what is the purpose of those structures? And I think that this year, 2010, we are finally opening a complete new door in pyramid science, namely with the help of a Croatian physicist who brought their equipment on the top of the Bardian Pyramid of the Sun. We were able to measure and detect the electromagnetic fields. As a matter of fact, we have checked all the valley of the pyramids, and the Sun Pyramid is the biggest one, and we have not found any anomaly until we came to the very top of the pyramid. And there, we were able to measure the radius of 13 feet, the energy beam that was coming from the center of the pyramid. Now, the energy beam has a frequency of 28 kilohertz, which is the frequency of ultrasound. It cannot be heard, it cannot be seen, so we cannot detect it, you know, using, you know, our physical senses, but we can detect it using our instruments. What's very important is that the energy beam is continuous. And what we did, you know, we measured the energy beam on different heights. On the surface, 6 feet above, 12 feet above. And then we concluded that as the beam goes higher, it becomes more and more intensive. Now, all these things are telling us that something very unusual is happening here. Namely, so far, the scientists in Egypt, Mexico, or China have not allowed anyone to come and measure those phenomena. Because they were saying, no, those structures were used as the tombs for the emperors and kings. But what we are saying now, it seems that those structures were built not for the dead people, but for the living people. And they obviously had some energy phenomenon that can be measured. And, you know, in order to produce the ultrasound, you have to have a source. You can have three different types of source. One is mechanical device. The second one is electromagnetic device. And the third one is piezoelectrical effect. That is, when you squash the quartz crystal, then you can, you know, produce the electricity. The problem is, with the frequency of 28 kilohertz, it means that somebody, somehow, squeezing the quartz crystal inside or below the pyramids 28,000 times per second. Now, it is an amazing discovery telling us that had to be something artificial within or below the pyramid. Now, the second anomaly is the intensity of the energy beam. If it's getting more and more intensified with the height, it means that the source, maybe it's not even inside the pyramid, but above. If the source is above, what does it mean? What type of civilization we have above our planet? In any case, the conclusions are amazing. And I think we are opening a completely new door with this pioneering research in Bosnia.
Well, through your research, Dr. Sam, what have you found to be the building materials that the original builders used on these Bosnia pyramids?
As you know, in the case of Egyptian pyramids, the Cheops, Khafre, Mycerinae, they were using limestone, which was nearby Giza Plateau, and the granite, which was 600 miles south from Giza Plateau in Aswan. But in the case of Bosnia, they are much more practical. All the building materials were found a couple of miles radius of the complex. In the case of the Sun Pyramid, what they were doing, they were using the conglomerate. Now, what is conglomerate? Whenever you have a flood, when the water recedes, what you have behind is a stone, rocks, pebbles, sand. And that's a perfect construction material that we even use today. Now, all they needed was binding material. What we did, when we started uncovering the Sun Pyramids in Bosnia, we started finding blocks. Some of them, they were regular rectangular blocks. We took samples and sent it to six different labs, four of them in Bosnia, one in Italy, in the institute called Politecnico di Torino, and the sixth one in the Institute for Geopolymers in France. And we got the same answer from all of them. That was the man-made concrete. And the binder was clay. What they did, they were taking large quantities of clay, and you can see them all around this town of Visoko. They ground it, they mix it with the water, they heat it up to 500 degrees, and at that temperature, the clay is getting binding properties. The ancient Romans knew that 2,000 years ago. So when they were building Colosseum and other huge structures, they were using clay as a binder. But the Bosnian pyramid builders knew that as well, much, much before the ancient Romans. So we know now, opening 17 archaeological trenches on the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, on all four sides, that the concrete material was used to coat the biggest pyramid on the planet. The amazing thing is the quality of the concrete. You know, when we make concrete nowadays, it lasts 50, 100 years, couple of 300 years. But in this particular case, those concrete blocks are still there. Now, we were checking the two main properties for the concrete. The one is hardness. The other one is water absorption. The hardness of our modern concretes are in the range from 10 to 40 megapascals. The hardness of concrete on Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is from 73 megapascals to 134. I would say that never such a perfect, superior construction material was ever made on this planet. And the second property of the concrete is water absorption. The higher absorption, the lesser quality. We allow up to 3% in water absorption. In the case of Bosnian pyramids, that parameter is below 1%. And that's the reason why those structures and why those concrete blocks are still there, ready to withstand another 100,000 years. So this is amazing construction material that we are meeting. And I can tell you this, everything we touch in our project changes the European and the world history forever. Number one, these are officially the first pyramids in Europe. Number two, they are the biggest pyramids on the planet. Number three, the most superior concrete blocks were used in this construction feat. Number four, the soil that covers the pyramid is, according to the Bosnian State Institute for Pedology, over 12,000 years old, meaning that these pyramids are the oldest pyramids on the planet. Number five, we have the most precise orientation toward the cosmic north. Number six, under the pyramids, we have the most extensive underground network of tunnels and chambers in any pyramidal site. And finally, number seven, in those tunnels, we are discovering the biggest ceramic sculptures There are multi-ton sculptures going in a range from, you know, tens of pounds to 20,000 pounds. So this is a history-changing project.
Well, it's obviously an amazing discovery, and I'm sure everybody is asking themselves, and I certainly am asking myself, who were the builders of these incredible pyramids? What do you have to say? What do the experts have to say about this? Was there a very advanced civilization in that area in ancient times, or could it have been the Egyptians or related to the Egyptians? What do you feel about this?
Well, now we are entering a completely new territory. You know that the mainstream science claims that, the human history has been linear. So we started as a very primitive, caveman-level people, and then 8,000 years ago, we got the first advanced cultures, like Sumer, Babylon, Akkad, Assyria, ancient Egypt, ancient India. And now, in 21st century, we are the most technologically advanced, most intelligent, and most beautiful beings. That's what the mainstream science tells us. Well, they're wrong. We just live in the last cycles of the human history. Last 8,000 or 12,000 years. It's just the last cycles, and before that one, there was another phase of human civilization. And before that one, another one. And every time, the humans would disappear and their civilizations due to some global catastrophes. The last time, as you know, 12,500 years ago, we had the huge earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and the flood, which has been described in so many ancient sources, including the holy books. So, that time, whatever we had before as advanced cultures, it was erased, disappeared, and the humanity had to start from the very beginning. The good thing is that we do have some physical proof of those civilizations. In last 15 years, we've been witnessing sensational archaeological discoveries. For example, on the bottom of the Pacific floor, between the islands of Japan and Taiwan, 13 underwater cities were discovered, 100 to 250 feet deep below the sea level. Obviously, nobody was building the cities on the bottom of the, you know, Pacific floor. Now, at one time, the land, the surface, was above the sea level, 200 feet, 250 feet higher than today. When was that? Well, the last time, it was 12,500 years ago, before the flood. Because what happened with the flood? The flood, its origin is that the huge quantities of ice from the last ice age melted in northern Asia, northern Europe, North America. So when that water got to the oceans, the water level rose. In the case of Pacific Ocean, 250 feet. In the case of the Atlantic Ocean, 360 feet. A lot of civilizations disappeared. And some of their physical traces are still there. In China, among 250 pyramids, there are 20 of them, much, much older than smaller satellite pyramids built during the Chinese emperor 2,200 years ago. The older ones are probably older than 12,000 years. Now, in the Middle East, in places like Lebanon, there are stone blocks. They are huge. The biggest one is in Baalbek, 1,250 tons in mass. Our technology, our cranes, can move 350 tons at one time. And now in Baalbek, we have an example that some type of civilization making stone blocks and shaping them four times bigger and transporting them. And really, when you go from the town of Baalbek, a mile and a half on the top of the hill, you can see the ruins of the old temples. Later on, the ancient Romans came and they built their temple dedicated to the god Sun. But before that, you can see that somebody was building the walls and constructing with the stone blocks of 850 tons, 450 tons. So these are material proof that more advanced civilizations did exist in a distant past. And finally, on other continents, South and North American continents, we will be able to find, thanks to new radiocarbon dating, traces of very old civilization. As you probably know, in Bolivia, a place called Tihuanaco, according to the archaeologist, Mr. Poznanski, who's been researching the place for 50 years, the age of the first advanced temples and towns go back 17,000 years in the history. So, when you ask me who built the Baalbek pyramids, it seems that there were advanced civilizations in the past, but now we lost all traces. What happened to their bones? I think they are gone forever. What happened to their cities? In most cases, it's just the ruins. But we still are able to find some traces. It will take us a long time to get this puzzle resolved. Have in mind that Egyptology has been around for 200 years, and we still don't know most of the answers about the Egyptian monuments. And in our case, in the case of the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids, we've been researching only for 5 years.
Well, what I've found traveling around the Earth, Dr. Sam, is wherever I go and I see these pyramids, the natives are saying that they're much, much older than the Western archaeologists are maintaining. And in some cases, like in Peru and Egypt, they're saying that the temples and the pyramids could be as old as 50,000 years. And so I'm wondering if it isn't the same case with the Bosnia pyramid. Perhaps it's many, many thousands of years old, maybe 50, 100,000 years old. Is that a possibility, do you think?
I think it is a possibility. We have to stay open for different options. You know, when the Spaniards were coming to Central American countries, and when they discovered what is now known as the ruins of the Mayan civilization, in the 16th century, they were meeting the Indians who were living in those towns or by those towns. And they would ask them, do you know who built those pyramids and temples? The answer was, we don't know. Do you know when they were built? Again, they did not know. What happened? What we call the Mayan civilization, even though we don't know their real name, they disappeared in the 10th century. Now, some of their structures, they go 4, 5, 6, even 8,000 years in the past. Some of the new archaeological evidence in Belize, radiocarbon dating on crops, telling us that the Mayas were using domesticated products even 8,000 years ago. So it is in our neighborhood. So we simply don't know so many things. You know, when we started flying to the moon and the solar system, we thought that we learned everything about this planet. But actually, you know, so many things are there that we don't know. The lack of our knowledge is almost endless. Our problem is that most people, when they obtain their titles, PhDs, professorships, when they got the positions in the archaeological or historical institutes and the universities, they think that they know everything and that the knowledge and the science stop with them. In that moment, they become an obstacle for the progress. We have to stay open all our life. We have to behave as students, not like professors. And only in that case, there is hope for us. So when you mention the years, 20,000 or 50,000 or even longer than that, there is a possibility for that. I mean, the humans, the intelligent man, the Homo sapiens has been around at least for 200,000 years. According to the anthropological genetics, that's, you know, when we were starting as a species in Africa. Now, there is a possibility that we are even older than that. Because, you know, just in South Africa, the diamond, you know, mining facilities were discovered. And they date back 300, 400,000 years. Who was exploring, you know, all these minerals? Who was, you know, mining the diamonds and gold and silver in South Africa long, long time ago? So these are all open questions. And we have to stay open and we have to search for the answers.
Well, I remember from your presentation in Arkansas that you were investigating other ways of dating these pyramids. Specifically, you were considering assembling a group of psychic and clairvoyants to see what they get from the Akashic records. Has this happened yet? Or are you getting any kind of psychic information now that's giving you some of your answers?
Now, it did happen. You see, for some reason, our civilization has divided the knowledge in the compartments, which we call sciences. So now we have biology, we have history, we have physics, we have mechanics, we have math, we have geometry. But as a matter of fact, there is only one knowledge. It should not be divided. And, you know, when we talk about the way how to, you know, get the knowledge, how to tap the knowledge, using our physical senses, and our material science is based on our physical senses, is only one way to do it. Now, the second way is through what we call the spiritual science, which should be based on spiritual senses. A long time ago, the humans did not rely on technology like today. They did not have computers or cranes or automobiles or internet. But they did have some other ways, some other means to think, to transport, to build, to get the information about the universe, about the astronomy, about the math, about the geometry. Their mental capabilities are more advanced than today. Unfortunately, most of this knowledge has been forgotten for a long time. And I would say only in the combination of those two sciences, the physical and spiritual science, we should be able to retrieve the information from our past, which can benefit our present and our future. 7 months ago, I performed the experiment with 6 Akashic Record readers in Houston. I established the protocols. Namely, I wanted to talk to 6 different persons who claim that they can tap to Akashic Records. As you probably know, there is a notion that there is some type of the library in spiritual realm. And all the information about our planet from the past and the future can be obtained there. And not only about our planet, but about our universe. And that's called the Akashic Records. Well, I decided to have about 35 different questions for the Akashic Record readers. They did not know when they came to my place what I'm going to ask them, so they were not able to prepare themselves. So what I did, I had pictures and names only of different archaeological sites, that they are in a way mysterious in their origin and the builders. For example, I had places like Chinese pyramids, like stone blocks in Baalbek, the Bosnian pyramids, but also some other better known places like Machu Picchu, or Tijuanaco, or Teotihuacan in Mexico, Giza pyramids, and some others. So I had the same questions for six persons at six different times. And then we taped everything, and we are preparing the book, which will be published beginning of 2011. So, briefly, I can tell you that the Akashic records show the best agreement in the case of the Bosnian pyramids. Somehow, they were able to retrieve some information regarding the construction of the pyramids, regarding the existence of the underground tunnel network, and I would say that they agree in most cases on the purpose of those pyramids in Bosnia. They are saying that their purpose was to revitalize and to regenerate. They are saying there are huge amounts of focused energy. And the interesting thing is, 2 months later, you know, we did measure. We were able to discover that energy beam coming to the top of the Sun Pyramid. So it's telling me that we should use all sources possible, but we should try to use them in a scientific, verifiable way.
Well, as a preview to your book, which I'm sure we're all going to want to acquire once it comes out, can you tell us just briefly were some of the readings telling you that there was a connection between the pyramids and these ancient legendary civilizations of Atlantis and Lemuria?
Yeah, in most cases, actually, they are going much older time than the end of the last ice age. They are going 55,000 years in the past, and yes, they did mention Atlantis, they did mention Lemuria, they did mention Motherland Mu, they even mentioned some other places and some other civilizations. They even mentioned some more advanced forms that they ended up on our planet. So, you know, really it will be up to reader to try to decipher and, I would say, to select what is the most realistic scenario. Because, you know, sometimes the readers can affect the readings by their previous knowledge, by the books they read, by, you know, their personal feelings and things like that. So I think the readers in general, not only those that I interviewed, but in general, you know, they have to be careful. And what I could see was that there was a great difference between them when it came to the years when, you know, some monuments were built. I mean, the difference was so big that I would say in some cases they had nothing in common. But in some cases they did have a lot of things in common. So I would say in both realms, in the realm of spiritual science and in the realm of physical science, we have to be very careful how we approach things. We have to use the scientific methodology, and we have to find a way to verify the info, you know, with other people, with other readers, and that's the only way to, you know, try to get some good, truthful information.
Well, you mentioned, Dr. Sam, that your ground scans have revealed that there are some statues in the tunnels that are connecting the pyramids together. Have you found any of the entrances to these tunnels? Because it would seem as though if you could recover some of those statues, that might give you the information you need to better date the pyramids.
You're right. For some reason, the element of the underground tunnel and chamber network is very common. For example, the case of the Step Pyramid in Saqqara in Egypt, and the only one pyramid that is the underground labyrinth of 5 miles radius. Of course, under the Giza Plateau, there are the tunnels that connect the three main pyramids with the Sphinx and the River Nile. The underground tunnels are present in the case of Shanxi pyramids in China, in the case of Teotihuacan pyramids in Mexico. And yes, sure enough, we have the underground tunnels in Bosnia. So far, we have discovered two entrances to underground tunnels. One entrance is only 800 yards from the Sun Pyramid, and the other one is approximately 1.5 miles. In both entrances, in both tunnels, we are progressing towards the pyramids. And what we do, there is a lot of material inside, like the sand and the rocks. Obviously, there are a lot of floods in the past that brought the material. So we are getting the material out, and we are building the wooden support so it is safe for the researchers and the visitors to get in. And we are slowly progressing towards the pyramid. The idea is to come under the pyramid and probably discover the big underground chambers with the archaeological artifacts that will tell us who and when built those pyramids. In one of the tunnels, which we call the underground labyrinth Ramne, so far we've cleaned about 400 yards. Every, couple of 3 yards, there is a side tunnel to the left and to the right. And the interesting thing is, those tunnels, they are filled up with the material and then sealed off with the drywalls. So it seems that we have at least two mysteries in those underground tunnels. First, who built them, and second, who and why sealed them off. Well, about a couple of hundred yards from the entrance, we have discovered several megaliths. They look like megalithic rocks, and that's why we call them megalith K1, K2, K3, and so on. But when we analyze the structure of those megaliths, we get the answer from the very, distinguished institutes that this was a ceramic material. So it is a man-made material. Somebody was able, to make those ceramic, actually, sculptures long, long time ago. They had technology to do that. And in the case of the biggest ceramic sculpture, which we named K2, and it is about 20,000 pounds in mass, we were able to screen it with a georadar instrument. Georadar is able to go through the material and tell us, the structure, if there are different materials, and so on. The conclusion about the megalith K2 is that it was two-layer ceramic sculpture. It has a base, which is approximately 1.5 feet, and it has a lid, a cover on the top. And thanks to the georadar instrument, we were able to locate the oval object inside this, sculpture. So obviously there was a protective purpose of the sculpture. What they did, they pour the base, they place something inside, and then they cover it with this lid. So obviously there is a secret after secret in those tunnels, and it seems that advanced civilizations were using some forces that right now we don't even know which ones. Now, the interesting thing is, what we did, we were measuring the radioactivity just to make sure that it is safe to work underground. And I have one crew from the University of Sarajevo. And the results are showing me that the concentration of the radioactivity is 0.05 to 0.09. And it is 2 times less than the average radioactivity outside. So it means that the tunnels are very safe to work. But then I had another crew, another team who came with even more advanced equipment. And what we did, we were moving very slowly. And we would make a break and we would stay in one place for a couple of 3-5 minutes. And then we realized that the concentration changes 2 or 3 times. It goes up and down, like sinusoid. So, you know, we concluded that it had to be something that affects the radioactivity, or, you know, beta rays, beta and gamma rays, but beta rays especially. It had to be some type of the magnetic force. Now, we link that to something else. When you enter the tunnels, you feel very good. As you move through the tunnels, you know, there is some type of calmness, there is some type of very comfortable feeling. And, you know, people who have problems with asthma, who have problems with the sinuses, can breathe so nicely inside. So obviously there is something in the energy realm that the ancient people knew, and now we are trying to find out, you know, what was going on. And it seems that they were combining some, you know, types of the energy inside those tunnels. And the next thing, which is also measurable, it's very important for us that you can measure something, is the presence of the negative ions. You know, in the hospitals in the U.S., there are, you know, companies that they make those ionizers. They sell them to the hospitals, and, you know, by producing negative ions, they clean the atmosphere, they kill the microbes. Well, there's the artificial way to produce them. But in the tunnels, we are measuring the concentration. And 300 yards, that's the point, you know, where we are right now. The concentration is the biggest. It is 43 times bigger than what the average concentration outside. What does it mean? It means that those, you know, tunnel builders and pyramid builders, they were using the underground network as some type of the healing spots, as some type of the ancient hospitals. So I would say there is a lot of knowledge that we are to discover yet.
Well, Dr. Sam, at the rate that you are moving through these tunnels, when do you predict that you might actually be able to recover some of the statues and artifacts that exist within them?
Well, of course, the most exciting moment will be when we come under the pyramid and when we discover, as I expect, you know, a much bigger underground chamber. So far, we discovered 3 empty, smaller underground chambers, but we are still far from the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. Now, in the last 3.5 years, we moved approximately 350 yards, and we have about 3,000 yards. So it's about, you know, 10 to 15%. So at this rate, it will take another 25 or 30 years to get under the pyramid. Why is it so slow? Because the tunnels are built in the conglomerate. You cannot bring any equipment to clean it quicker because the equipment vibrates, and the vibration could cause tunnels to collapse. So we have to be very careful. And this is archaeology. We have to work slowly. We need to check every stone, every, you know, piece of, you know, rock, pebble, things like that. But we can speed up the process by getting a little bit more money and hiring more people. You have to know that this discovery and the work has been led by the non-profit foundation. You mentioned it in the beginning. We call it the Archaeological Park, Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun Foundation. And this is for the first time in Southern Europe that Nonprofit Foundation was registered to do the archaeological excavation and the cultural heritage protection. So far, only the government agencies, the big museums, the universities, and the institutes, you know, they're allowed to do the archaeology. But all those people, they're on the budgets. They are paid through the government. This is for the first time that the enthusiasts, people who love the research, ancient history, and their country, are there on this task, on this, you know, very exciting project. Unfortunately, we live only through the donations. So wherever people donate us, that's how much work we can organize. And, you know, during the recessions, during the bad times, you know, not so many donations are coming our way. But still, even if we have 6 or 8 or 10 guys working during the winter, we are making some progress. So eventually, we will get there. So many people are telling me, hey, this is a huge project. Probably you won't get to see its end. And what I'm telling them, well, you are right. It will take probably 3, 4, 5 generations to uncover everything. But in science, it doesn't matter if you're going to see the end. The point is to start the project. And even like the Chinese proverb says, the road of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. And that's what we've been doing nowadays.
So since you're depending on private organizations and private people to donate to your work, do you have a facility on your website that people can donate through?
Well, thank you for that question. Now, you did mention the website. It's www.bosnianpyramidofthesun.com. It's one word, bosnianpyramidofthesun.com. And that is a way to donate, but not only to donate the money. You know, for the longest time, the archaeology belonged to the very close circles to this, you know, elite science. I mean, you could not, as an individual, just go to Egypt and start digging. You could not be a part of the team unless you are a professional archaeologist approved by certain government bodies. Our project is different. In our case, we are open for everyone. Under supervision of our archaeologists and geologists and geophysicists, we invite people from all over the world to come and join us, to be the part of this exciting process, to make the changes, not only to witness them. This year, 2010, during the summer, we organized an international summer camp for volunteers. And, you know, we had a public invitation for people to come and join us. And we were so proud to host 500 people from 30 countries and 6 continents, people from Florida and from Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, from Bangladesh and Morocco, from Egypt and Holland, from Italy and Greece, from Hungary and Croatia and Serbia and all other countries. They came to Bosnia. So far, they knew this little country only through the TV and the pictures of war during the 1990s. War criminals. But now, instead of the negative vibrations, we try to do something opposite, to send the positive news to the world. The news about the archaeology, about the cultural heritage, about new discoveries, about young people and those who feel young in their hearts to come to Bosnia. They come here and they go out there. And they are becoming our ambassadors, telling, hey, this country is so beautiful. The people are so hospitable. And we are part of something amazing. And 10 years from now, or 20 years from now, when we do much more progress, they will be proud to say, well, yes, I was there at the beginning. So with this type of a project, we change the approach to the knowledge, to the world cultural heritage. We are saying, hey, the biggest pyramids, they don't belong to one man, one non-profit foundation, even to one little country. They are the world's cultural heritage. The same thing with the Great Chinese Wall. It does not belong only to China or Egyptian pyramids. They do not belong only to Egypt or the Eiffel Tower. I mean, these are things built by man, and they belong to all of us.
Well, it must be incredibly inspiring to see people from all over the world come to Bosnia and work with you on the pyramids. If people that listen to this program are interested in joining you, can they get information on how to go about getting involved on your website?
Yes. By the end of November, we are going to have the application forms and all the necessary info about the summer camp for the year 2011. All they need to do is to fill out the application to pick up the shift, and we have 2 weeks shift from June to September. All they need to do is to come to Bosnia, come to this town of Visoko. After that, we will take care of them. We provide them with accommodation, which is in a local motel, 4 beds in 1 room. We provide the meals, 3 meals a day. We provide the opportunity to work at the site, 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. Sun is off, so they come, they work, they meet people from all over the world. In the afternoons and the evenings, they are free to go, you know, all over the Bosnia, to restaurants, to meet other people. So for most of the guys who are here summer of 2010, it was an incredible experience. And I had cases of people who would come in June, and then they wanted to come back in July, August. And yes, we led them to come back. Because, you know, when they show such an enthusiasm, when they show such a love for this project, we know that it is the most valuable thing. Because not only that the project has this positive energy going out, but with all these people, you know, we are accumulating the positive energy.
Well, my favorite part of your presentation at the 10-10-10 gathering was I think it was the last slide that you showed of this incredibly magnificent pyramid after all the vegetation had been cleared off of it, of the Sun Pyramid. So tell me, what are your projections? When do you project that this could potentially look that way? How many years do we have to wait before you've got all the work or most of the work done on it?
The archaeological work is very expensive, is slow, is very demanding. You have to be very careful what to do, how to do it. And then, of course, the process of reconstruction also costs. And after that, the maintenance is extremely high cost. In the case of the Pyramid of the Sun in Teotihuacan in Mexico, and the Pyramid of the Moon, and the city of Teotihuacan, we know that the end of the 19th century, they were completely covered by soil and the bushes. And then the Mexican and American archaeologists started their 3 campaigns. To clean and to reconstruct the Pyramid City. It took them 75 years of continuous work and a lot of money to put it in the place like it was thousands of years back. So it is a lot of money. Now, the height of the biggest pyramid in Mexico, the Sun Pyramid, is 230 feet. The height of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is 3 times higher, 700 feet. And as far as the volume, it is 8 times bigger than the Mexican pyramids. It is 3 times bigger than the Great Pyramid of Egypt. Now, we have almost 4 feet of soil on the top of the pyramid. It would take 2,000 people 5 years to completely clean the pyramids. It would take more time to repair what needs to be repaired. So we are talking a lot of money. Just for one side of the Sun Pyramid, in order to clean it, it takes at least $25 million. Plus, you need to buy the land from the private landlords, another $10-15 million. In order to clean 5 pyramids, because that's how many we have, the pyramids of the sun, moon, dragon, love, and earth. For all 5 of them, probably the cost is in the neighborhood of $300 million. In order to clean and to secure all the underground tunnels, it's another $20-40 million. So this is a huge project. This is international project. But it is not unreachable. Namely, when you see how much money some countries make from the tourism, for example, the Egypt, you know, 8 million people a year come to see the Egyptian pyramids, and they bring $15 billion in the Egyptian economy. So when we compare a couple of $300 million in the case of Bosnia, and the final result is the biggest, most magnificent pyramidal complex on the planet, I think that money could be brought back to the archaeological tourism in 1 year only. But now we are talking hundreds of millions of dollars. And our small non-profit foundation, you know, a year, we got a couple of $100,000. So if we continue this pace, it will take another, 200-300 years.
Well, I for one, don't want to wait that long, and I'm sure you don't. So I would encourage everybody listening to this show to donate their time, their money, whatever, and to tell all their friends and tell all the institutions that they think might be willing to donate to this incredible project. So before we leave you, Dr. Sam, are you going to be speaking anytime soon in the States or in other parts of the world, giving presentations that people can attend?
Yes, I do presentations all year round. For example, the following weekend I'm going to Croatia, which is in southern Europe. In February, I'll be doing the conference, the series of conferences in Germany, in Munich, Frankfurt, Stuttgart, and Cologne, together with Graham Hancock, Dr. Joseph Davidovich, and Chris Dunn. Then March 5th, I'm having a conference in Houston, Texas, and I'll be talking about the pyramids there. April, again, Western Europe. Then May, hopefully Chicago and New York. During the summer, most of my time, I have to be here with the volunteers and my archaeologists and my expert team. And then again, October, November, I'll be coming to different places in the U.S., and all those info will be on our website.
Well, great. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Dr. Sam. I'm hoping that maybe we can talk to you again in the future. As you find out more, as you do more excavations, this project is, excuse the pun, but groundbreaking. It has the potential of certainly changing human history. So, I for one am extremely excited about your work and thank you so much for doing it.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. I was delighted to talk to you guys, and I'm hoping that you will be with us for the updates and eventually visit us in the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids.
We will. And I, for one, will try to visit you, too. So, and I'm hoping that I can make that happen. So, once again, thanks for being on the show today, Dr. Sam, and much good luck in the future with your project.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Before we go off the air, I'd like to mention there are some pyramids and temples that I'm going to be leading people to this June, 13th through the 23rd. These are the temples and pyramids of Peru that I've visited many, many times down there and studied with many of the the shaman, and myself have led many tours and had many amazing experiences. And I want to take a group to what I have found to be the most powerful places in Peru to do what I found to be some of the most powerful ceremonies there. And so we're going to visit all the main places along the Urubamba River and Machu Picchu and Ollantaytambo and Pisac and Sacsayhuaman. According to an organization I got initiated into some years ago, the Brotherhood of the Sun, the elders are saying that some of these temples down there in Peru are as old as 50,000 years old. And so we're going to visit all these, as well as Lake Titicaca, which is probably the, at least one of the most powerful psychic vortexes on the planet. And it contains the pure goddess energy like no place else I've ever experienced on the planet. And so many of the Andean civilizations say that they actually emerged from the lake. So it is the womb of the mother, the womb of the goddess, if you will. And so we're going to finish our pilgrimage there on Lake Titicaca. So if you'd like to join me on that tour, on that pilgrimage, you can visit the website sacredsitesjourneys.com, and that will give you a complete itinerary and give you a lot more information about that journey. So please register if you're interested. Register soon, because we are limited to, I think, 10 to 15 people. And so I hope to be able to share that experience with you. It's really, really amazing, and I think everybody should go to Peru once. That's my prejudice, because it is such an amazing place, and you won't find temples built quite the same anyplace else as you do in Peru. Okay, so that's our show for today, and we'll be back in a couple weeks, and I'm hoping we can have Henry Lincoln, who, as you know, is famous for Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and having helped start that whole movement of the Holy Grail and the Holy Blood line. So, until then, have a great couple weeks, and happy Thanksgiving. And we'll be talking to you soon. And as I always say, if you're looking for the Holy Grail and you haven't found it yet, well, try looking inside, because it's right inside your own heart. Bye for now.